Let me start thanking the organizers for the invitation to this very interesting conference. So I will present some work, which is not super new. It was done 7 months ago, but I think it fits well with the theme of the conference. This was done in collaboration with Bashmakov, who is now in Milano Bicocca, Benvenuti, Bertolini and Spezzati, who are at CISA. And moreover, feel free to interrupt me at any point if you have comments or questions. Okay, so I would like to talk about some interesting connection between theories in different dimensions. This is, of course, a very well-known connection. And in particular, I will focus on the example that relates three-dimensional and four-dimensional theories. But of course, what I say, the general ideas will be valid in any other dimension. And this connection is not the standard, if you want, dimensional reduction of a higher dimensional theory to some lower dimension, but rather is the following, is related to the presence of defects. So in this particular case, domain walls. So imagine that we have a four-dimensional theory with multiple gapped vacua. Then we can prepare the system in the following state. So we can specify boundary conditions in such a way that on one side of space, we are in a vacuum A. On the other side of space, we are in vacuum B. And then necessarily in the middle, there must be an interface or a domain wall that separates the two. In particular, let me stress that this will not be a defect operator. So I'm not modifying the action of the theory. I'm not inserting an operator, but rather this will be a dynamical object. So I'm not modifying the action of the theory. This will be just imposed by the fact that I have different vacuum on the two sides. And under favorable circumstances, I might expect that there is some lower dimensional theory, in this particular case, a three-dimensional number volume theory that describes the physics of this domain wall, of these dynamical objects. And well, this is quite interesting because in general, there will be some relations between the four-dimensional and the three-dimensional dynamics. There will be a relation between the symmetries of these theories, their anomalies, and so on. And so in particular, we can imagine that learning something about one, we can learning something about the other one as well. Now, the bulk theory, the four-dimensional theory, might have some parameters, and we can tune these parameters. And when we do that, we might induce some transitions on the domain wall theory. In particular, it might happen that for some special values of these parameters, there is a transition on the wall, but nothing really special happens in the bulk. And so we discover that there are some special values of these parameters which are invisible if you look at just, say, local operators, but that this value becomes special if you look at non-local dynamical objects. Now, moreover, we might have different descriptions of the bulk theory. For instance, we can have some dualities that describe the same bulk theory, or we might have different effective field theory description at different scales. And this might lead us to infer either that there are different phases of the theory on the domain wall, or maybe they can suggest that there are dualities in three dimensions for the theories that describe the dynamics on these domain walls. In fact, all these ideas have been beautifully applied to Young-Mills and QCD in a couple of works a couple of years ago done by Davide Nati, as well as Kapustin and Komargotsky. So I will not review this story, but instead I will discuss what happens in a different theory. So we'll not talk about Young-Mills and QCD, but a different theory. Now, in general, how can we get multiple gap vacua, so in particular states which are degenerate in energy? They have the same zero energy. Well, there can be different types of scenarios. So for instance, we can have some spontaneously broken discrete symmetry. This will give us a different vacuum, which are related by the symmetry and they have exactly the same energy. Or we might have a supersymmetric theory. In this case, we might have different vacuum, which are completely inequivalent. They are not related by the symmetry, but because of supersymmetry, they have zero energy. Or in fact, another case that I didn't put here, we might have some control parameter in the theory, and changing it, we might have two states which cross energy at some point. So for example, we might have a first order phase transition, and we might want to tune this parameter to precisely to the first order transition. So the example that I would like to consider in this talk is four-dimensional super QCD, so a version of QCD with n equal 1 supersymmetry, and in particular this will be massive super QCD. And the reason to look at this theory, well, at least some reasons, are, so first of all, this is a theory with multiple gapped vacua for generic values of the parameters. And in this case, even though well, the theory is supersymmetric, in fact, the reason that we have multiple gap vacua is not supersymmetry, but is a spontaneously broken symmetry. In fact, it's spontaneously broken R symmetry. So in this picture, I'm trying to represent the vacua with these dots. Now, it turns out that because of supersymmetry, this theory admits BPS domain walls, so supersymmetric domain walls. And so these walls can host a three-dimensional theory also with supersymmetry, minimal supersymmetry. These are two real supercharges. And this is a very small amount of supersymmetry. So for instance, there are no renormalization theorems in this theory. There are all sorts of renormalizations, for instance, of the superpotential. However, supersymmetry does buy something. For instance, one can argue for second-order phase transitions, essentially because there is a Witten index which is preserved as we deform these theories. Now, of course, this is a theory that has been studied for a long time, and in fact, a lot has been done on the topic of study domain walls in this theory. However, to the best of my knowledge, a full classification of the domain walls in this theory was not done, and so we hopefully fill that gap. Okay, so this is the theory that I would like to study. As I said, this is four-dimensional super QCD. So I'm not going to write the Lagrangian of this theory. I will just tell you what I'm sure you are familiar with this theory. But okay, this is a theory with SUN gauge group. In particular, well, for most of the talk, I will focus on SUN super QCD. And in this theory, there are F flavors. So in particular, there are F chiral multiplets in the fundamental and anti-fundamental representation. And of course, each chiral multiplet contains scalars and fermions in the fundamental representation. And in the vector multiple, there are also Majorana fermions in the adjoint, which are the gauge genii. Now, for most of this talk, I will restrict to the case the number of flavors is smaller than the number of colors. And the reason to do that is that, well, the description of the dynamics is a little bit simpler in this case, because as we will see, only the mesons, but not the baryons, are relevant to describe the physics of the domain walls. And in particular, they're also relevant to discuss the some would-be moduli space of the theory. And in fact, a superfield, a gauge invariant superfield that will be very important is the meson superfield, which is quadratic in the flavors. Now, what are the parameters of this theory? Well, first of all, there is a dynamically generated scale lambda that comes from the gauge coupling in the theta angle. Moreover, we can have a mass matrix, which is F by F. So what is the low energy dynamics of this theory? So first of all, we can look at the theory without a mass, so the massless theory. And classically, there is a mesonic moduli space, so this meson superfield can take arbitrary expectation values. However, it turns out that on this mesonic space, there is a dynamically generated superpotential. It's essentially a Coleman-Weinberg somehow super potential, which comes from a superpotential. This was found by Affleck, Dine, and Seiberg. And well, this superpotential gives rise to a potential which is runaway. And so in particular, this theory doesn't have a stable ground state. So in a sense, it's a bad theory. However, it is enough to turn on masses for the quarks to stabilize the vacua. And so this is the theory that I will look at. In fact, I will take the most symmetric mass matrix, which is proportional to the identity. So for this reason, I will look at massive super QCD. And it turns out that this theory has n massive vacua, massive in the sense that they are gapped. Okay, so, well, in order to find this vacua, this is a very standard computation. So one considers the effective superpotential on this mesonic space, and there are two terms here. There is this Aflein-Dein-Sabberg dynamically generated superpotential, and there is the bare superpotential, which is the mass of the quarks, which is linear in the meson field once we write in that way. And essentially, one has to solve the F-term equations and find the solutions to that. Now, it turns out that in this theory, there is a Z to N R symmetry, so there is a discrete R symmetry. There is also a flavor symmetry, SUF, and there is also a baryonic symmetry that, however, will not play a role in most of this talk. And, well, the discrete R symmetry is spontaneously broken in the vacua, so in particular, both the meson superfield and the Gugino Bailey-Einhart take an expectation value, and they are charged under the R symmetry. And because of that, well, we get, well, Z to N is broken to Z2, so we get N vacua. And these vacua are once again represented by these dots here. Now, because these vacua come from a spontaneous broken symmetry, they are essentially equivalent. Now, now that we have these vacua, we can consider domain walls that connect any of these two vacua. So we can put on the left side of space, we can choose any vacuum, on the right side, any other vacuum, and we can connect them. And in general, there will be a domain wall that connects the two. However, because these vacua are all physically equivalent directed by the symmetry, the only thing that matters is by how many vacua we jump from the left to the right. And so the only thing that matters is the difference between these two numbers, which is k, and so we call k-wall a wall that relates the zeroth vacuum to the kth vacuum. Now, there is an interesting property that these walls have, that is that the n minus k-wall must be the parity reversal of the k-wall, and it's easy to understand because we can start with the k-wall, connect the zero vacuum to the k vacuum, and then we can perform a rotation around the wall. And when you do that, we get the k on the other side and the zero on the first side. But then we use R symmetry rotation to get zero here and minus k here. And now, of course, minus k is equivalent to n minus k. So when we do that, we map a k wall to a n minus k wall. But we also have flipped one of the directions along the wall, and this is why we get parity. So this is a basic property, which is essentially trivial in the bulk. But this should be respected by any description that we might have on the walls. And in fact, we will see that this very trivial property will give rise to something non-trivial in the three-dimensional world volume theory. Okay, so now it turns out that in the four-dimensional n equal 1 supersymmetry algebra, as we know, there are no central charges. However, there is a brain charge, a two-brain charge. And so because of that, we can have BPS-saturated domain walls. Now, this is not a central charge because it does not commute with the Poincaré generators, but it commutes with the supercharges. So we loosely speaking call this a central charge. And because of this central charge, the domain walls have a protected tension. So in the same way as a central charge will give protected mass to particles, we don't have that here, but we have a protected tension for the walls. And in particular, the central charge is easily determined is equal to the difference in the value of the superpotential when we go from one vacuum to the other one. And given the central charge, the tension of the wall is just the modulus of this. So in particular, the tension is non-perturbatively fixed in a very simple way. And now this fact has two very simple consequences. So the first consequence is that if you wish, domain walls are different from brains. So if we take parallel walls, these are not mutually BPS. And in fact, there is an attractive force between them and then decay, and the only BPS domain wall is the bound state of them. And one simple way to understand that is that, because of this relation, if you go from vacuum A to B and then from B to C, and we have two domain walls, the total tension will be the sum of the length of these two lines. Instead, if we directly go from A to C, well, the tension will be proportional to this length, and clearly going from A to C is a shorter length, and so a smaller tension. Another simple way to see it is that you get, two parallel walls have a central charge which have different phases, and so, once again, they're not mutually BPS. The other obvious, but again, it will be useful keep in mind. A consequence is that even once we fix the type of K-wall, so we fix zeroth vacuum on one side and kth vacuum on the other side, and so we talk about a K-wall, in fact, there can be multiple walls which are precisely degenerate in energy, but they are physically inequivalent. So they're not related by any symmetry. And the reason is just because the tension is fixed by the central charge. Of course, without supersymmetry, different walls will have slightly different tension, and will be one that has minimal tension, and the other ones will decay into the other ones. But here, because of supersymmetry, we can have degenerate walls. OK. So now we can try to think about this system in different limits for the parameters of the theory. In particular, we can try to think what happens if we change the mass of the quarks. So in particular, if we take the mass of the quarks to be very large, so larger than the dynamical degenerate scale, well, these quarks are very massive. We can integrate them out, and essentially we are left with SUN super young Mills. And so the domain walls should correspond to the one in super young Mills. That also has n gap vacua. And in fact, this problem was studied long ago by Acciari and Vaffa, and they found that the theory on the walls, well, obviously it has a Goldstone mode for broken translations, so this mode is always there. It's the couple at low energy, I will not talk about it. Besides that, there is a TQFT living on the walls, so in particular, these walls are gapped, but they are not trivially gapped. There is still some interesting and non-trivial TQFT. On the other hand, we can try to think what happens when the mass of the quarks is very small. And as I will show you, well, essentially the theory reduces to an almost weakly coupled Vezzumino model on this mesonic space, which is not a moduli space, it is only classically. And one can study this system, in fact, I will discuss how one can study this system, and we will find that in this regime, the description of the walls is completely different. There are inequivalent but degenerate walls, and they will host, in general, both a topological sector, but also some three-dimensional Goldstone bosons that refer to the fact that some symmetries are not broken in the bulk, but they are broken on the walls. And so since we have this very different behavior of the walls in the two limits, in the middle, there must be some phase transition for some special value of the four-dimensional mass that we will not be able to determine, but there must be such a value. And so what I would like to do is to find some three-dimensional n equal 1 more volume description of the walls that is able to capture both regimes and in particular is capable of capturing this phase transition. So this will be our goal. OK, so let me start very quickly reviewing what happens in super young Mills, so the theory without quarks. Now, the low energy physics of this theory, in fact, is somehow similar to massive super QCD, because in the same way, we have n-gap vacua. And once again, this n-gap vacua come from a spontaneous broken R symmetry. So there is the very same breaking pattern, z to n broken to z2. And this is due to Gugino condensate. And because of that, we have a very similar picture with the N vacua connected by these K walls. And we can ask what is the theory on the K walls. And well, this was answered by Acciari and Vaffa. And essentially, the answer is the following. So as I said, first of all, there is a real superfield. Phi, this is the Goldstone for broken translation. It contains a real scalar and a Majorana fermion, plus some gauge theory. It's an n equal 1 gauge theory, which is a Chern-Simons theory. It's UK at some level. Now, the details are not very important. Now, in fact, well, in this theory, there are both gauge fields and fermions. There are the gaugini. However, it happens that the gaugini are massive, and so if we want, we can integrate out these gaugini, and at low energy is just a TF, topological field theory, which is a Chern-Simons description as this particular Chern-Simons theory. So it's again UK, and there are some levels. These two levels refer to the fact that there are different levels for the SU part and for the U1 part. In fact, it turns out that the answer that was given by Acciari and Vaffa is a little bit richer than this, because they also consider a mode, an extra field, which is in the adjoint of UK. So in fact, the adjoint of UK contains a singlet and a traceless matrix. And this extra field controls the breaking of the K-wall, if you want, into K1 walls. However, as I told you before, even though classically this is a flat direction, in fact, quantum mechanically there is a potential for this breaking. So if we try to take the K-wall and we try to break it into K1 wall, in which every time we jump from one vacuum to the other one, well, there is a potential between these walls. These walls tend to collapse to the, they want to collapse to the bound state. And so because of this potential, this extra mode is massive. And so once again, one can integrate out this mode. And if we do that, we end up with this description. So if you are just interested into the BPS wall and the low energy dynamics, we are happy enough with this TQFT description. So very good. Now, there is this property that I told you before that is a basic property that should be preserved. That is the fact that the K-wall and the N minus K-wall are related by parity. Now, of course, if you look at this theory, it doesn't look manifestly so. However, it turns out that this property comes from level rank duality. So precisely in the same way as John described in his talk, a different presentation of Chern-Simons theory can lead to the very same TQFT. And this is the case here. So what about super QCD? So now we go back to the theory, which contains the F flavors. And well, I will jump to the point. So I will tell you what is our proposal for the three-dimensional volume theory. And then I will tell you a few words on where this proposal comes from. And our proposal is the following. So it's very simple. Essentially, the idea is that we take the Acharya-Vafa theory and we add F fields, flavors, if you want F fields in a fundamental representation to it, and we also change the Chern-Simons level in a suitable way. Now, in this theory, in general, there will be a superpotential, and in fact, this theory contains a quartic superpotential. Now, these terms are classically marginal, and so they will be generated along the RG flow. As I told you, with this amount of supersymmetry, there is no non-renormalization theorem. So in general, these terms will be generated along the RG flow. And in fact, we will see that these terms are crucial to reproduce the correct physics. Besides, there will be a mass term, a three-dimensional mass term. And this mass term will be related in a non-trivial way that I don't know precisely to the four-dimensional mass. In particular, as I told you before, there will be a phase transition on the three-dimensional theory. And this phase transition will happen for the value zero for this three-dimensional mass. So if you want, this three-dimensional mass is the infrared three-dimensional mass, which does not necessarily agree with the UV1. It's precisely the one where we have extra massless degrees of freedom. So this will correspond to a special value that, once again, I cannot determine of the four-dimensional mass. Then positive values of the three-dimensional mass will correspond to massive, well, more massive quarks in the bulk, so heavier quarks. And negative values of the three-dimensional mass will correspond to lighter quarks. Now, where does this proposal come from? So we cannot derive this theory, so I can only give you some indications, some suggestions. And then ultimately, what I will do is just to check that this proposal makes sense. So one way is to try to study interfaces as opposed to domain walls. So truly operators in which we change the action and we put something, in particular interface in which we change the theta angle when we go from the left side to the right side. And although we were not able to make this precise, this suggests that from the matter fields in the bulk, you get some zero modes, some light modes that live on the interface. And so in particular, from a flavor in the bulk, you get a single fundamental in three dimensions. Another way to try to do that is to use a brain construction. In fact, Acharya-Vafa use a brain construction to derive their proposal. And one can take the Acharya-Vafa proposal. One can add some extra brains that engineer the flavors. And once again, this leads in the direction that one should add flavors to the Acharya-Vafa theory. Unfortunately, this is not a derivation because it turns out that adding flavors to the Acharya-Vafa construction, one really engineers super QCD with quartic superpotential in four dimensions, which is a theory with different dynamics than this, and so this is not really a derivation. So in any case, I will take this proposal and I will see whether this makes sense. Once again, if this proposal, so one first check we can try to make is whether the k-wall theory and the n minus k-wall theory are related by parity. And once again, it's not obvious from this description. However, it turns out that this is precisely what was studied by these authors. They found that there is a non-trivial duality between the theories that are related by mapping k and n minus k, and they realized this non-trivial relation. So, in a sense, if we didn't know about this duality, but we were confident that this proposal is correct, one could have used the theory on the fact that this is the theory on the wall to infer that there should be this, such a duality. Okay, so now let's try to analyze the vacuum of this theory. So in particular, let's see what happens when we take positive and negative three-dimensional mass. If we take positive three-dimensional mass, it turns out that there is a unique vacuum in which these fundamentals are zero. So all the fields are massive, they can be integrated out, we are left with a Chen-Simons topological field theory, which in fact precisely agrees with the Acharya-Vaffa theory. So this is a simple but nice check that at least on one side, for heavy quarks, this proposal makes sense. It does what it should do. And the structure of the vacuum is more interesting if we take negative mass that should correspond to light quarks, because in fact there are multiple vacua of these theories, and in particular in these vacua, these fundamentals can take some expectation values. In particular, this is a matrix whose rank is the minimum between k and f, and j of this eigenvalue can be non-zero. So this gives rise to various vacua which are parameterized by j. So let me call this j vacua. So this j will run in some range. And then we can write down what is the low energy theory in this vacua. So what is it? So first of all, because of this expectation value, the flavor symmetry is broken. So in particular, well, the flavor symmetry is not broken in the bulk, but it's broken on the wall. So because of that, we have three-dimensional Goldstone bosons. They are described by a nonlinear sigma model for the symmetry breaking pattern. On top of that, we are also left with some topological sector, which is described by some Chen-Simons gauge theory. So in this vacuum, this is the very low energy theory. In general, there is a topological sector and some massless fields, which are Goldstone bosons. So let me stress, as I did before, that this J vacua is inequivalent, so they are not related by any symmetry, they have completely different physics. This is obvious from this low energy physics, but they are degenerate because of supersymmetry. If we imagine to slightly break supersymmetry, then one of these walls will have minimum tension and will be the stable one. But I will call all of them a K wall. Yes. Because these are by supersymmetry, because
BBS charge for the.
Well, from the three-dimensional point of view, I'm looking at ground states. And this is a supersymmetric theory, and so the ground state have zero energy. From the four-dimensional point of view, well, the tension is not zero. So if you want, from the three-dimensional theory, I cannot see, I cannot reproduce which is the tension of the walls, but up to this offset, we see that all the BPS ones are have the same tension. Okay, so as I told you, supersymmetry, so n equal 1 supersymmetry in t dimension doesn't bias much. There is no holomorphy. However, it's powerful enough to tell us that the transition on the walls, it must be a second order phase transition. So in particular, there must be a CFT. And the reason is that, we have a Witten index, which is preserved in this vacuum. And because of that, ground state, they cannot just take a positive energy and disappear. As long as they have non-trivial Witten index, the only thing that they can do is to fuse into another vacuum on the other side of the duality. And when vacua fuse, we have a second order phase transition. We have a CFT. Now, in principle, we might expect that since there are multiple vacuum on one side and there is one vacuum on the other side, there are multiple phase transition. And in fact, in general, this is what will happen. In this particular theory, which is this gauge theory with fields in the fundamental, Rocek and collaborators gave an argument that, in fact, all these vacuum must coalesce at the very same point, and so there must be a single transition when all of them go into one. So in particular, we infer that there is, for a very special value of the four-dimensional mass, a CFT on the wall. Another interesting prediction, or at least a conjecture that we can make, is that for special values of the parameters, in particular number of colors and flavors and type of wall, there might be, or there could be, an unsupersymmetry on the wall. And in particular, we conjecture that this happens for when you have theories with a single flavor or for the case of the one wall. And the reason, so what makes this case special is the following, that in general, there are two superpotential, quartic superpotential terms that you can write, a single trace and a double trace. But in this particular case, there is only one, essentially because of this, they are degenerate. And so in particular, there is a single quartic term, and the value of the coefficient will run to some value. Now, there is a special value of the coupling for which the theory, in fact, has n equal 2 supersymmetry. This becomes manifest in the Lagrangian. And so we can conjecture that, in fact, the RG flow will flow precisely to this particular value. Now, this conjecture can be checked in a certain limit in which we take walls in which the Chain-Simons level is large in the three-dimensional theory. So in particular, if we go back, what is the theory on the wall? So when these Chain-Simons levels are large, the theory is weakly coupled, and one can do a perturbative analysis. And in fact, this is what these people found, that the n equal 2 point is stable. And moreover, that if you start in the UV from the theory without quartic superpotential, you precisely flow to this particular point. We conjecture that this happens for all the values, but of course, this is just a conjecture. But in fact, there is a very special case, which is the case in which both k and n minus k is equal to 1. So in particular, this is SU2 with a single flavor. In this case, there are two vacua, and so there is a unique wall, which is a one wall that connects the two. And the theory that one has, that we propose we have to the wall is U1 with a single flavor with this particular value of the couplings, and this theory was proposed to have enhanced n equal to 4 supersymmetry. So we conjecture that this is what an enhanced symmetry at the CFT point for the walls in this theory. Okay, so far I gave you this proposal, and this proposal passed some mild checks. In particular, for heavy quarks, it produces a Chariot-Wafa, and it respects this property that the K wall and the N minus K wall should be related by parity. This is very mild evidence. So now we would like to provide more interesting and maybe convincing evidence, which is the fact that we can try to study these walls directly in four dimensions. And in the limit in which the mass is very small. So we have very light quarks, the mass is much smaller than lambda. Of course, for the case in which the quarks are very heavy, we already checked that we reproduce a Chariot-Wafa. And the reason is the following. So if we take this particular limit, we see that the expectation value of the meson in the vacua is very large. So we go very deep in the Higgs phase of the theory. And so in this regime, we have a weakly coupled Higgs phase in which the low energy theory is a Vesdumino model on this mesonic space. Now, since we are in a weakly coupled corner of the theory, this Vesdumino model has a superpotential, which is the one that I already described, is the effective superpotential on the mesonic space, contains the Hafleck-Dine cyber piece and the bare mass, while the Keller potential is the one induced by the UV theory, which is this particular one. So now we have a Vesdumino model, and so we can try to construct domain walls in a standard way in this Vesdumino model. So what I will call Vesdumino type walls. Now this construction will be valid as long as we remain deep in the Higgs phase. So in particular, it might happen that when we study these walls, the profile of the fields go towards the origin of the mesonic space, this effective distribution is not valid. So if you are in that case, maybe this construction is not valid, but as long as we remain far from there, this description should be perfectly okay. Now, there is a small caveat in this discussion, which is the fact that we don't only have a Vesdomino domino model, but we also have an unbroken superior mean sector. And it's just because we have less flavors than colors, so when we give a VEV to the meson, we do not completely break the gauge symmetry. And so we have some strongly coupled sector in the theory that will be important. So now we can try to study domain walls in this Vesdomino model. This is a very standard thing. Essentially, we solve the equations of motion, and the equations of motion can be rewritten as first-order equations, which are written here. So phi are all the fields in the Vesdomino model, which in particular are components of the meson. X is the spatial coordinate orthogonal to the wall, so we want to find the profile of the fields along X. K is the Keller potential, W is the superpotential, and gamma is the phase of the central charge. So essentially, you have to solve this equation, imposing that on one side, for X that goes to minus infinity, we are in one vacuum, and for X that goes to plus infinity, we are in the other vacuum, and we have to interpolate and find solutions. And in fact, if we take the special case in which the number of flavors is n minus 1, this is exactly the problem that we have to solve. We have a Vesdomino model on the mesonic space. You see these exponents become 1. There is no residual sector, and we should study these domain walls and see what we get. However, if the number of flavors is smaller than n minus 1, as I told you, there is a small caveat, because we have this unbroken superior mean sector on the mesonic space. And this should be taken into account. In fact, as you see, this superpotential is not single valued because of this root. So we have a Vesdomino model with multiple sheets. And the fact that the superpotential is multivalued can be precisely related to the fact that this superior mid sector contains n minus f vacua. In fact, doing a standard computation, one can reproduce the Affleck-Dein-Seiberg superpotential precisely in this way. One can do scale matching and write down what is the superpotential in the unbroken superior mills, and writing this in terms of the meson, one precisely reproduces this, this term here. So it means that on the mesonic space, we have a multi-valued function with multiple sheets. And so now we can imagine two type of walls. So as I described before, we have these Vesdomino type walls in which we just move with the superpotential. But then we can imagine at some point we have a transition in the superior mill sector. Because this theory has n minus f vacua, so we could have a transition. And in principle now becomes a very complicated system because the transition here is non-perturbative. We don't have a perturbative way of describing it. However, we can try to look at what is the size of the walls, or the different type of walls, in the limit of light quarks. And here are the two computations. So this is the size of Vesdomino walls, and this is the size of superior mean walls. And we discovered that in the limit of light quarks, the superior mean walls are much thinner than the Vesdomino walls. So there is a separation of scales. And because of that, we can imagine to construct the following type of, that I will call hybrid walls. Essentially, we start in a vacuum. We evolve with the equations of motion of the Vesdomino model. So the fields in the Vesdomino model evolve with the equations of motion. But then at some point, we jump from one sheet of the superpotential to the other sheet. And this jump corresponds to a transition in the superior mills. And because of that, precisely corresponds to a jump from one sheet to the other one. And this sheet in this limit of light quarks is essentially instantaneous because the width of the superior mills walls is much smaller than the one of Vesdomino walls. So we jump from one sheet to the other one, and then we start again to evolve with the equation of motion of the Vesdomino model. Now, if you do that, we construct this more slightly more general class of walls. What is the effective theory on the walls? Well, first of all, even though these vacua do not break the symmetry, as we move inside this mesonic space, we might break the flavor symmetry. So the components of the meson matrix can be different. And if you do that, of course, we have three-dimensional Gostown bosons for the broken flavor symmetry, so we have a nonlinear sigma model. However, we also can have these jumps from one sheet to the other one, and since these are superior Mills walls, these are essentially described by Acharya-Vafa theory, and so there will be some topological sector associated to the jump, and here delta is essentially the number of sheets that we jump by. So this is the general structure of the low energy theory that we find on this type of walls. And then at this point, okay, we can take examples and we can study what are and make a list of the various walls. So these walls, in general, they have to be studied numerically because we have these Vesdomino equations. In some particular cases, it can be studied analytically or algebraically, in particular when we do not break the mesonic symmetry. But anyway, we can form a list of the type of walls that we find. So we can start with SU2, SU3, SU4, and change the number of flavors. And in each case, we can look at different type of walls. So here, there is only the one wall. And in this SU3, there is the one wall. There is also the two wall, but it's the parity of S of the one wall, so I don't write it. And in each case, well, there are multiple inequivalent but degenerate walls that can connect the very same vacuum, and we can form this list. And in all the cases that we analyze, we have gone up to SO5 or SO6. There is a match with the three-dimensional prediction, namely with the low energy theory that one finds in the vacuum that I described before. Okay, so this is some non-trivial check that the proposal for the world volume theory makes sense. So to conclude, let me mention some generalization, some of which is work in progress. So one thing that we looked at is to increase the number of flavors. So in particular, let me comment in the case where the number of flavors is equal to the number of colors. And here there is more dynamics going on because now also the baryons enter into play. In particular, in this particular case, there is a deformed moduli space. What baryons and mesons are not independent, they are related. However, the classical relation that will have a zero here is deformed with lambda. And now we can look at the three-dimensional theory. In particular, study what happens for light quarks, and something interesting happens. So when we look at the low-dimensional theory, we still find nonlinear sigma model, but instead of finding a topological sector, we find a U1 to the zero. A U1 theory with the zero Chern-Simons level. So in particular, this is not a topological theory. This is a theory of a compact real scalar. It's also supersymmetric, so there is a massless Majorana fermion. So in particular, this theory spontaneously breaks the topological symmetry in three dimensions. This topological symmetry corresponds to the baryonic symmetry in four dimensions. And so this predicts that some domain walls spontaneously break the baryonic symmetry. And in fact, you can take a Vesdomino model on this deformed moduli space, and you can see that besides walls in which only the meson is turned on, there are also some walls in which the baryons are turned on, and so also the baryonic symmetry is spontaneously broken. In fact, there is a very peculiar case, which is once again related to SU2, but this time with two flavors. And in this case, the three-dimensional n equal 1 theory is this particular one, is U1 level 1 with two fundamentals. And with a very specific quartic superpotential, it turns out that this theory has manifest n equal to 3 supersymmetry. And then one can prove, looking at the superconformal index, that this symmetry must be enhanced to n equal to 5. I don't know if the theory on the walls has this particular quartic superpotential, so I don't know if the walls have enhanced n equal to 5 supersymmetry, but it is an intriguing possibility. Then the other generalization consists in looking at other gauge groups, and in particular we look at SPN, super QCD. The story is very similar. One can start with the case without fermion flavors. And in this case, there is essentially the equivalent of Acharya-Vafa, which is again a topological theory. And then one can look at the case with more flavors. And similarly, there is an SPK theory on the walls with F fundamentals. Of course, in this theory, there are no baryons, so there is no this distinction. There is nothing similar to here, where at some point the baryons come into play. Okay, so let me summarize. So what we did was to propose a three-dimensional description of the domain walls of four-dimensional SUN super QCD, where the number of flavors goes up to n so far. This proposal has some interesting predictions. For instance, that there are second-order phase transition for some special values of the masses, predicts some interesting zoo of walls. In some cases, it does really predict. It gives indications that there might be supersymmetry enhancement. And then we saw that the limits of large and small mass, in fact, can be reproduced by other arguments. So this is encouraging. Let me mention some interesting open questions. So of course, one question is to increase even further the number of flavors. And now, well, in four dimensions, we have cyberduality. So one might expect that this comes into play and it might give some indication of interesting three-dimensional dynamics. One could look at other gauge groups, for instance, spin-n or SON. One could look at quivers or dimensions in matrix in other representations. And in particular, this might be interesting, once again, to give some either prediction or confirmation of three-dimensional dualities. And finally, something that would be quite interesting, although we didn't have time to look at so far, is to look at domain wall junctions. So since we have multiple walls in this theory, as in Supinian Mills, one can have, so parallel walls are not mutually supersymmetric, but junctions of walls are. And now the junction of walls will have some two-dimensional theory with 0,1 supersymmetry, and one can ask what is the theory on these junctions. In fact, Davide looked at this some years ago for the case of Supinian Mills, and it will be interesting to understand this in the case of super-QCD. Also in view of the fact that now there are phase transition of the walls, and there are also inequivalent walls with the same vacua, so there should be also not just junctions, but if you want, walls on the walls and this kind of objects. Okay, let me finish here. Thank you.
Is there any n equals 1 theory with gate group SUN, SPN, with just fundamentals, instead of the various UK gauge theory that can reproduce all these phases?
So you're asking if there is a theory which has SU instead of U?
So, yes, but also the argument, I'm asking whether there is a way to find a dual theory with the argument is N.
Yeah, so one thing that we observed, so this is an observation, I don't have a complete understanding of this, is that for the one wall, and I don't know why this works only for the one wall, in fact, you can use interface to describe the wall. So you can take the theta angle to do a single jump, and if you do that, you precisely get a description of the wall with the same gauge group as the bulk theory. And then the Chansamos level will be 1, because you jump just by one unit. And then will be F fundamentals if you start with F flavors. And this works for all the gauge groups as far as, all the gauge groups that I've checked. Now you have this description, and then there is a duality that maps the SUN level 1, the level is suitably correct by the fact that there are the fermions, to the U1 at some level, which is either the Acharya Vafa or this generalization.
Okay, so your answer is that for k equals 1, it actually...
It only works for k equal to 1. So you can try with higher k, and you just see that it doesn't work. It doesn't reproduce the correct proposal. It doesn't, even in SU, in the case of Acharya Vafa, it doesn't reproduce Acharya Vafa. It doesn't have the property that the k wall is dual to the n minus k wall.
But the dynamics could do
that. Sorry?
Because it should only match in the infrared. I'm surprised that there is no SUN gauge.
I'm also surprised. I don't know why this works only for the one wall and not for the other walls, but this is an observation.
I think it strongly suggests that there is something that works for higher.
You can do it for Acharya Vafa. So if you can take SUN level, essentially level 2, you dualize it to essentially U2 level N, and this is. This done, the Levenhardt duality is not the one that gives you the parity reversal of the k-wall and the n-k-wall.
But in this case, if I allow myself to break the supersymmetry, this was done in the paper with Domé Dohar, crank the mass of the work up, then it does match the other.
Okay, so if you take the pure, n equal 1 superior Mills, and then you try to construct a non-supersymmetric sort of interface, and then you look inside the quantum phase, that precisely matches the TQFT on the wall. Once again, why this non-supersymmetric construction gives you the theory that lives on the wall, that walls should be supersymmetric, this I don't understand. Maybe you have a better understanding than me.
Can you say more about this values of M star? So it's a map from F by F matrix to a number or a matrix, and what are the hyperplanes where they're vanishing? I mean, the positions M star were three-dimensional map.
Sorry, are you asking about what are the values of this M star?
Yeah, can we even roughly plot maybe for low values of F the hypersurfaces, which are loci where this vanishing happens? What's the topology of that? I mean, how does
so it? I don't have anything to say about that. So one comment is that this M star, although I didn't emphasize it, for each type of wall, of K wall, there will be a different M star. I see no reason why there should be one M star in the full theory. So for each, so if I have all these vacua and I connect different vacua, in general there will be a different M star. I don't have a way to compute this M star. I've not thought much about it, so there might be that maybe one can say something about it. Another question could be, what if you take an M star, I mean, you take a mass matrix which is not diagonal, so you give different values to the quarks, then there might be some interesting story in which you flow from some type of walls, and you reduce the number of flavors in the bulk. Once again, I've not thought about that, but it might be interesting to do that.
One more quick question.